You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
The time has come.
I like that.
The time is now for Victoria Stilwell's Positively Podcast. She's a world-renowned dog trainer.
Seen enough dogs today, have you?
She's the host of It's Me or the Dog.
I'm coming to train you.
Along with co-host Holly Furfer.
You don't play around with that name, do you?
I am a fan of Schwitty Balls.
She's Victoria Stilwell, and she's ready to go.
This is a lovely way to start the day.
You get the busy day. I need to trim her whiskers.
I see some poo here.
I feel a little bit better now because I'm the only one who usually feels stupid during the podcast.
Now, let's head to the studio and get this Positively Podcast started.
Happy Thanksgiving
to all our American and is it Canadian too? Do they have Thanksgiving?
I believe they do. They have something. Oh, now you're making me look dumb.
Oh, you see, that's terrible. I apologize to everybody in Canada, but happy Thanksgiving to everybody all over the world.
Whoever covers, whoever celebrates.
Yes.
Oh my God, that's my old brain. And I am thankful that
she did
Paula Bloom is here, our resident psychologist, know everything, make you feel better, amazing person.
Paula, we love you.
Thanks for coming back.
I'm grateful for you too.
Thank you so much.
And I'm so grateful that everybody is, you know, following up on their Thanksgiving tradition and listening to us on Thanksgiving Day around the table after dinner.
It's rather like dessert. It's rather like the Queen's speech.
Yes.
On Christmas Day. Exactly. Everybody stops what they're doing, they're eating at 3 o'clock.
It's a tradition. You know, you watch the parade, you watch football, but you listen to this in the middle. Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, this is great. You know, I'm sure a lot of people are either cooking or eating or having dessert or, you know, it's a great escape. Oh, I'm sorry. Family, talk amongst yourself. I have to go upstairs and do something. I have an appointment to listen to a podcast. We won't disappoint.
Paula, you have helped us so much just with our general everyday problems. So,
psychoses.
I know you've just got a new dog. A new puppy. So yes. I want you to be able to ask me any information. So anyone out there who has a puppy or has just got a new dog, you need to listen to this.
First of all, tell us about the puppy.
Yeah.
Yes. So her name is Suki because my daughter and I are obsessed with the Gilmore Girls. That's the Melissa McCarthy character.
Yeah.
Not that my husband and son didn't have a say in it, but they didn't in her name. And she's a boxer. And she's like gained half her weight in 2.5 weeks or
how
something like that.
How old is she when you got her?
8 weeks.
And now she's 10?
And now she's like, 10 or 12 weeks. Yeah, 10 weeks. But
I love
she's,
that puppy phase where they're like, gawky and awkward, and they smell like puppy.
I wasn't IQ when I was gawky and awkward.
I know, right? I know. No, nobody really is.
She's so cute. So, okay, Victoria. So, I have a few questions.
Yes, go for
the
it.
The first one is, so we have another dog, Shayna, who's, you know, really scrappy and cool. And
tiny.
She's like 5.5 pounds. And so I'm wondering about, it's like when you have children who you want to parent them, you know, you love them equally, but you have to parent them differently because they're different people. So how do I, it's like Shayna, we let her on the dog on the couch and all this stuff because she's 5.5 pounds. And you know, this isn't going to last very long where we can carry around Suki. And so how do you sort of train dogs differently? And I know we've talked about this little dog syndrome before, but do I have to do the same thing for each one in front of each other? Like, I don't know, but I am so confused and emotionally having issues because the dog likes Steve so much better.
The puppy likes your husband so much better.
There's a little bit of, I want to use anthropomorphizing going on here.
I mean,
okay, well, let's start with the whole
help, Victoria.
Let's start with the whole way
I just
you
want
parent.
People to know, because you're hearing us, you're not seeing us, but I want you to know that never has this happened in the history of podcasts where Victoria took my pen and is taking notes. Sorry. Usually she's it, but this is good.
Well, you know what? That's what I do when I have sessions. I'm sorry, meetings with you guys.
Yes.
You guys start talking, and I'm like, okay, hold on a second. What did you say about your mom?
Yeah, I just want to get it right. Okay. I think it's your expectations. What do you want for your boxer? Are you going to allow your boxer on the couch? Do you want your boxer to be a cuddle muffin, or do you want your boxer to stay on his bed on the ground, her bed on the ground? I mean, do you want your boxer to sleep in bed with you, or are they going to sleep in the same bed with Shayna and the boxer together? Are they going to sleep together downstairs? I mean, I think it's setting up your expectations. Have you spoken with your husband about what you want with both dogs? Because I truly believe it doesn't really matter the size of the dog, that actually both dogs can be parented in a very similar way. And so what one rule applies to applies to one dog should apply to the other dog.
Okay.
And that, you know, that depends. If you've got a working dog, sometimes they're going to be treated a little bit differently than a dog that's just a couch potato at home. But I do feel like dogs, you see, dogs learn from each other.
That's what I was wondering. It's not just what we model, right? It's what they model for each other.
They do learn from each other's behavior. And therefore, Suki now will be learning from what Shayna does. And so if your existing dog has great behavior and is very well behaved, then be thankful. But if Shayna has some particular quirks that you might not want Suki to pick up, then you have to be, you got to recognize that and stop that, because they do mimic behavior. They will imitate your behavior. They will imitate other dogs' behavior. And Suki will be learning from Shayna. So I think that's, you got to talk with your husband and your kids about what responsibilities everybody has towards the dogs, mm-hmm. and what your expectations are for both dogs.
Okay. That makes sense. It's just, you know, always the kind of thing, not just like you were saying, the working dog, but when, you know, when creatures have different personalities, again, it's with my kids, I don't parent them the same, but I guess I'm.
But, you know, like on that note, what Vic said, I have a Barnsley, my coonhound, and Cashmere, my pit mix. They're very different personalities, but they bully each other. And that's something that, you know, because of how Barnsley reacted, Cashmere, and now Cashmere never used to be a bully, now she is, and I think it's in response, even though they're very different dogs, you know.
And I tend to anthropomorphize, but what are your thoughts about sort of sibling rivalry with dogs? Like, I don't know a lot about, because it's been rare that we've had two dogs at the same time, and so can you speak to, like, not just mimicking each other, but, like, what's that relationship like, and how does it mimic, like, the people relationship and all of that?
It's a good thing, because same thing. I have a boy and a girl dog, and they're about 6 months apart, and there's tons of sibling rivalry. Victoria's helped me with.
Can we call it that?
Absolutely.
I think you absolutely can, even though they're not technically not siblings.
Well, it's like, you know, when you adopt a child, they become part of your family.
Absolutely.
It's the same thing.
Right. There is rivalry. There is, and maybe we could call it competition, more competition for
resources.
Resources. And I do think, you know, with animals, and maybe they'll be able to tell us one day what they truly, truly need and how they truly think. But I do believe that when a dog feels like somebody or something makes it feel good, it wants more of it. Now, if there's something that's stopping that dog having more of it, then that could be seen as, you know, you're getting in my way. And so that's why we have a lot of dogs that will compete for various resources, such as food, such as people, such as a bed, a favorite place that they like to be, and or over a favorite toy. And we do see a lot of rivalry. You could call it jealousy. You could call it competition. And you'll find that dogs become very controlling, and they'll use various techniques to stop the other dog from having access. And that's either body blocking. For example, if you're giving attention to one dog, you might have another dog come in and literally force the other dog out with its body. It won't do it, you know, it won't be doing it aggressively, but it'll literally come out, come in between you and the other dog, and then use its back end to push the other dog out the way. That's just basically saying, hey, I want access now. So dogs can be very controlling.
Okay. This is good to know. So what do I do with that? Like, how do I, you know, people always say that when you have one kid and then you bring another one home, it's the equivalent of somebody saying, you know, maybe your spouse saying, I love you so much, I'm bringing home another one, you know, like, and so
this,
like,
is so good.
Right. So what do you do with that? Like, how, I guess, is it similar? Again, I always go back to being a parent. Like, is it similar to, you know, you're special, just like everybody else? No, just, I love you. And now I'm spending time with this one. And now I'm spending time. What do I do?
You hit the nail on the head there. I do think that it's really beneficial for you to spend quality time with both dogs by themselves, as well as together. So when you take them out for a walk, they're enjoying something they both like together, or anything, play a game, something that they both really like to do, you do it together. You're probably spending most of the time with both of them. But then there are times when you're going to take one out for a walk and just spend some quality time. Doesn't mean to say the other dog's by themselves at home. The rest of your family can be with your other dog, but you're spending quality time with that dog. And I do think once, you know, dogs are so much like children in so many ways. They have their dogdom too that we need to celebrate and always understand that it's there. But dogs are said to have cognitive abilities of two-year-old children. And I also feel like they're quite childlike in their needs. And as long as that need is fulfilled, as long as you're giving them what they need, then you're going to have a dog that does not become anxious, does not become needy, does not require anything because you're giving it all to them. So that balance between, hey, we're all going to do this together. I'm going to parent you the same because I truly do believe that dogs need to be treated the same. But you're going to find traits that are going to mean that one dog is going to need something more than the other dog. And that's what you have to find. So, for example, if one dog prefers to eat by itself, you know, you manage that. You allow mm-hmm. that dog to eat by itself. And so you separate. If there's another dog that likes to walk but the other one doesn't, well, then, you know, you, as your dog grows, you will find out what your dog wants or what your dog needs in order to be successful. So there's no right or wrong. There's no rule book. It's observation. I think observation is also key. You and your job, you observe body language, mm-hmm. don't you, as well? I mean, that's a large part of your job. I do too with dogs. I observe their body language. I find, are they happy in the situation? Are they a little nervous? Are they tense? And I get a lot of information just by watching them and how they interact.
I think that's what I need to do, because it's also the discrepancy in size is hard. So the other day, Shayna was, you know, showing... 5.5 pound hardcore Shayna was showing her teeth, and mm-hmm. you know, and so my first reaction, it's terrible. It's like when you laugh at a little kid who gets really, you can't laugh publicly to them, but when they're, you know, three and indignant, it's adorable, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the reaction, right? It just sort of elicits that. And so with Shayna, it's the same thing. It's sort of, you know, she's showing her teeth, and I have to respect that.
But why was she showing her teeth? What was the situation?
Here's the situation. So Suki was just trying to engage and play with her. And so once in a while, Shayna will play back, but it's not predictable. To me, I can't discern any specific precipitant.
Yeah, but isn't that a good thing, though? Because, you know, like, she's learning boundaries.
Yeah, I think, well, Shayna's, don't worry if Shayna shows her teeth.
Okay.
Because she is teaching Suki what she wants and what she doesn't. And, you know, you do have two different energy levels there. And play can be fine. And then if it gets a bit rough, then Shayna has to say, hey, enough already.
Okay.
And if Suki is reading body language correctly, she'll back off. Now, the way you step in is if she doesn't back off. Because what you don't want is, because she's going to turn into a teenager soon, and you know what that's going to be like,
right.
An adolescent, and then adolescents test, you know, they test behavior, they test how far they can push things. So she's going to do that, and that's where you're maybe going to have to step in even more to say, hey, now you got to cool down. You got to leave Shayna alone, because Shayna is the existing dog. She's the queen bee. She's been there before. And now you're bringing in this puppy, and you have to make sure that Shayna doesn't get anxious and likes this pup as much as you do.
So showing teeth, you know, because it's the kind of thing where we assume wagging tail means happy. And, you know, I know that you and I've had this conversation before about, we make these assumptions about body language with dogs, but we're not always getting it right. So showing teeth can be like setting a boundary, but not necessarily aggression.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because Look,
showing teeth is aggression. I mean, there's no, you know, there is a ladder of aggression. This wonderful woman called Dr. Kendall Shepherd in the UK has done this whole ladder of aggression.
Okay.
Yes, it's on the very lowest rung.
It is.
It is a warning. Because, you know, if Shayna really wanted to, she could go bite. I mean, all dogs can. But biting actually makes you vulnerable. Because if you're going the whole way and you're actually going to biting, you are now setting yourself up for vulnerability.
Because you're close, right?
You're close. And you're also saying, hey, we're fighting here. And I'm going to bite you now. And dogs, I think, are pretty smart. They know that potentially they're going to get bitten by back. So that's why violence amongst dogs is actually, or amongst a really dogs or a multi-dog household that functions, is very rare, because actually dogs don't want to get hurt, because that compromises their survival.
Right.
So that's a last resort thing. The teeth, though, is a warning. It's an inhibited gesture. It's a warning. And so Suki better heed that warning.
So let me ask you this, taking one step further. So Barnsley, my big coonhound, he resource guards, as you know, a toy, a bone, food, whatever. And oftentimes, like, you know, we allow the dogs on the bed, but Barnsley, when he gets on the bed first, he'll growl and, you know, just like, I'm here and I'm king of the hill. And even if Cashmere's not even in the room, he'll growl. Or when she comes in, you know, he gives her the warning. He will show her the teeth and do that. I, though, at some point, now they're both adult dogs, they both know better, that's where I stop it. No, and then you're down. You do that, there's a consequence.
You bet.
So there is a point when then you do have to step in.
You do have to step in, and that's where I'm saying, if things get too much, and the growling and Suki's not backing down, that's when you step okay. in. But you're right. If you've got now two adult dogs and one is controlling the bed or controlling anything, that's where you say, well, you lose bed privileges until you're not allowed on the bed until you can learn to share.
Would you give a treat when they do learn to, like when you do see the behavior you want to see?
No, you know, that
you give them love and attention.
Yeah, it's more about, for example, the reward is being up. The reward is being up on the bed.
Oh, right.
No, I
okay.
really don't use, even though people might think I use so many treats in training. When I first start to teach a cue, yes, I'll use some food or toys or whatever motivates the dog, but I actually use very little food. So in that situation where I've got a dog that may be growling another dog as it comes, as my dog's on the bed and another dog comes in and my dog on the bed is starting to growl at the other dog that's coming in, then I will have that dog on the bed get off. No, you don't. You're not allowed on the bed but the reward is getting back on the bed. So, okay, let's say we've got Shayna. Let's put it. So Suki's coming into the room and Shayna's on the bed and she's starting to growl. I'm going to pick Shayna up. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to pick her up and I'm just going to put her on the ground and I'm going to wait. And then I'm going to say hello to Suki and I'm going to wait a little bit. And then I'm going to pick Shayna up on the bed, put her up on the bed again and see what she does. Now, if she growls again, she just gets taken up, put down on the ground. And I keep doing that until she can be on the bed. Suki gets up, and she's fine. And once she's fine, good girl. Good okay. girl. So basically, you're just saying, and I love it. I always say less is more. Less using food, less talking to them. I mean, I talk to my dogs all the time.
Right.
I'm just saying in that situation. Yeah, don't have to reprimand you. I'm saying no. No, you don't have to do it because your actions speak much louder than your words.
Let me ask you a question. Going along that, so like for instance, when then I say, all right, Barnsley, you're off the bed, Cashmere will, you know, sometimes then get up and get on the bed, and she's fine. And I usually let her to say, look, that's good behavior, and Barnsley, and then I feel terrible, of course, you know. And then, but after a while, he will then either get up on the bed or he'll just go to his own bed. Should I not let her up and
well,
no
know
one's
what?
On? Because she's not bad behaving. She just doing
she's,
her thing.
You know, and I think that's okay. I think there's a couple of scenarios. I think if it works and if Barnsley goes okay and then he gets back on the bed and he's fine, I think that's okay. What I would sort of tend to do is not have any dogs on the bed and start teaching them. So I would ask Cashmere to wait for a little bit. I would have Barnsley back up on the bed. I would maybe have Sean take Cashmere out, mm-hmm. and then Cashmere could come in on her own again and see if the same reaction. And if Barnsley doesn't growl, then Cashmere comes up on the bed. It's fine. Does that make sense?
Yep, that totally does. And okay. usually that's what happens.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Okay, so and so, Paulie, you had this question, this sort of emotional, anthropomorphic.
Oh,
your dog right. loves your husband better than you.
Well, I mean, love, what is love? No, there's this idea of, it happens in our house a lot. Steve has a very different nature than I. See, now it's like I'm in psychologist mode, trying to like emotionally figure
just
out
what's going
on.
Tell us what's the issue. What's going
so
on?
The issue is it just feels to me, no, it feels to me like just in general, the dogs, especially Suki, just wants to be around Steve.
Let me tell you, in my house, my dogs like me better. Yeah. Honest to goodness, like when I'm home, they're with me constantly. When I'm not home, they'll hang out with Sean. But the minute I get home, I go up to bed, and Sean could be doing stuff around. They're in bed with me.
Yeah,
wherever
you walk
I am,
him,
they
you feed him,
well,
you
that's
do
the thing. Steve
more
does a lot more of that. I mean,
ding,
he does
ding,
a lot
ding,
more
ding.
Of that.
There you go.
So it's not just this, like, connection.
No, and I did, that's why I said, I think in the last podcast, or I might have said it now, I forget, that
to my world.
Dogs will go towards things that give them comfort and
right.
pleasure.
Yes.
And what they can get most out of. So if you've got that primary
that's
person
true.
Who's feeding them more, giving them more intention, taking them out for walks, doing more of the training.
Right. Steve works from home. He's with the dogs.
It is
yeah.
automatically
yeah, exactly.
the dogs are going to be with that person that they are with most that gives them
the most
you know,
pleasure.
Gives them the most pleasure. And that's just the way it is. And when he's out, you know, they're going to be with you. And that's just...
Right.
Know.
It's just how it is.
It is.
I mean,
how
honest
it
to
is.
Goodness, I mean, think about, like, you know, if you had two people there and one was really nice and talkative and the other one kind of ignored you and one walked out of the room, which one would you want to hang out with? Which room
right.
would you go in? The one that you got, you know, it's
right.
like people.
Right.
And, you know, well, they did a study.
Plus, I rub my legs with meat and
yeah.
they like me. No,
I was
going to
say, yeah, I want bacon in your pocket.
They did this study in this university, and I've forgotten what study it was, but they had, how was it? They had a dog watching another dog playing tug with a person. So there were two people with two tug ropes, okay, or a tug rope each. The dog played tug with one of the people. But when it went to trial, I think the people were separately. So first of all, they brought in a person with this dog to play a game of tug. Great. Then they brought in another person, same dog, and the person teased the dog with the tug rope. So wouldn't allow the dog to get the tug rope. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
So, all right. So which person do you think the dog is going to choose at a later stage?
It wasn't even their own experience. They were observing it.
So not only did the dog that was actually the demonstration dog that was playing, choose the person who'd played with him, the observer dog.
That's amazing.
Chose the person that was playing with the other dog. There you go. So I think all of these wonderful studies really show us what's going on inside the dog's mind. Very like us.
Very much.
Very like us.
Very much.
Wow. There's your answer.
Yeah,
sorry.
There it is. That's okay. And I think, I guess, the key for people in general, I'm always looking at the sort of psychological piece, is to not personalize. Like, to get, that's as I'm listening to you, which is what always happens when I listen to you about dog stuff, is the idea of non-judgmental observation. Like, just becoming an observer, a detective, and taking out the emotional piece, the anthropomorphizing piece. That's really helpful.
That's
Victoria.
What I do. In every consultation I do, I have to remove myself. I mean, I'm sure you understand, I have to remove myself from whatever emotional stuff is going on, because I go into really sensitive environments with really difficult problems. I mean, my gosh, the amount of times I've needed you there, because I'm way beyond my pay grade with some of these families. And I go into these very sensitive situations. So I have to cut that all out and literally observe behavior, not just human behavior. Animal behavior and human behavior together.
Right.
So we got, look, I'm here whenever you need.
Thank you, Victoria. Maybe we should have you over for dinner soon.
Oh my gosh. I want to come and meet this beautiful pup. I love boxes, but I think we need to get on to,
our mailbox for Ask Victoria is so full. So let's get to them. And by the way, if you have a question and you want to email us, you can email us to the Positively website. It's positively.com/AskVictoria. And, our cup runneth over here, so let's get to some of these.
Hey, you got something on your mind?
Are you a wizard, a genius?
How do they make a miniature? I mean, is there some way, some process they physically miniaturize the dog, or is it a puppy, or what the devil is going on?
That's a really good question.
I've got my work cut out for me here.
Next time you want to know something,
can you repeat the question?
Why don't you ask Victoria? She's the expert with this kind of stuff, you know.
You obviously don't know my dog.
Just ask Victoria.
We love our sponsor for Ask Victoria. Dogs delight in learning, and Zooks provides the energy they need to fuel every training session. For 20 years, Zooks has created natural treats that energize and entice your dogs with wholesome, antioxidant-rich ingredients. Zooks are as nutritious as they are delicious. Learn more at Zooks.com. And I keep saying, after each time I'm reading this, is that my dogs love it, and they are great training treats. It just, they're perfect size, they're perfect smell, they're perfect chewies, and dogs love them. So really, you can just teach a dog to do whatever you want.
Or a husband.
Or her dad, unfortunately.
Okay. With husbands. Will it work for Sean? I'll let you know.
Yeah, that's for our other
It's all natural.
This is for, yeah.
Okay. Here is a question that I think every single person deals with, me especially, so I'm starting with this because it's a little all about me here for a moment. And Addie from New York City, she says, how long is it okay to leave an adult dog by itself on a regular basis? I believe no longer than 4 hours, but my sister disagrees and leaves her dog by itself 8 to 9 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Oh, yeah, that's such a tricky one. We've all got busy lives. We're all going out to work. Ah, you know.
That's why I say get another dog. I always feel like if there's two, then they have company. And you're good. Makes me
feel you know, because I used to have, Sadie used to be my only dog for a long time, and I really do feel, how selfish is that? I feel better leaving leaving her when Jasmine's here. Because then they keep each other company, and dogs are social animals. They need to have company. I start to get very, very uncomfortable when I get to the six-hour mark. The six-hour mark for me is, I'm sure my dogs are fine. No, even when they're together,
oh, okay.
Six-hour mark for me is enough. Because, but if I had to go out and work, because I can work from home when I'm not traveling, if I had to go work 8 hours a day, I would definitely get another dog. I'd also have to do my
or
research.
Cat. Or a cat.
Well, like, I don't know.
I don't know. I always feel like there's a, as long as, like, I used to have a yellow lab, and but I had a cat. As long as there's another living, breathing being, they were together. I mean, they didn't necessarily play together, whatever, but
I
they're...
But Victoria, you just said, I always feel uncomfortable. How much of that is about you?
Yeah, well, I told
and
you.
And how much of it is about what the dogs,
well,
like,
exactly.
need? And...
No, but I truly feel because I know how dogs respond when they're by themselves, and because I see and have seen so many behavioral issues occur in dogs that are socially isolated for long periods of time, I feel like I can make a better judgment call on how long a dog should be left by themselves. However, of course, it's a guilt thing for me. I, you know, when Jasmine, I had to take Jasmine to the sitter and for Thanksgiving. And so Sadie was by herself for 2 days whilst Jasmine was at the sitter. And Sadie's now at a sitter as well. I felt bad leaving Sadie even for a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. She was fine. She was asleep. Mm-hmm. She had no issues. I was the one that had the issues. I encountered that so much in people where I've gone, we've actually put secret cameras, we've done filming whilst the person have gone out. We had this one who had two Great Danes, and she had such bad separation anxiety when she left those dogs. The dogs were fine.
The person had terrible separation anxiety.
The dogs were fine. They hung out and then they got into a bit of trouble and they're having a great time. There's no separation anxiety going on there at all. She was the one that couldn't focus or concentrate when she was at the coffee bar whilst I was trying to keep her there. Then, unfortunately, when we got back to the house, we found that sofas had been eaten. Oof, but that was a puppy. So anyway, but I've had other people say my dog has terrible separation anxiety. The whole place is chewed and everything. And no, the lady went out. The dogs were like, yeah, getting into everything, having fun, chewing, getting the peanut butter, having a great time. So... All right, in answer to her question, I think you need to vary it. And I think if you could maybe do doggy daycare a couple of days a week, if your dog is sociable and loves to interact and play with other dogs throughout the day, if you could get a dog walker in the middle of the day, two or three times a week too, great. Maybe a day, that length of time is fine, but you do have to vary it. If you do get another dog, I would still recommend a dog walker to come and to break that up, especially if you have a younger dog that needs to go out potty. You got to keep it 9-10 hours with a puppy? Or, no.
Doggy daycare, they come back exhausted, and usually, like, the next day, they're still pretty wiped out, and so you've taken care of a couple days in
the week. Right, exactly. So, but again, it's the gas tank is full in the morning, and it's up to you to make sure that gas tank is full, is empty by the end of the day. It's a tough one for everybody who works, but I hope I've answered that question.
Very good. Okay, here's a good question. This one's really interesting. Brooklyn from Chicago, which is kind of funny there, asks, my aunt has a Brittany Spaniel who is friendly towards all dogs except for chocolate brown labs. Yellow labs are fine. Do dogs actually recognize other breeds, and is it common for them to develop prejudices against certain breeds?
Yes. And I see it all the time.
Really?
If there's been a certain trauma, or if there's been a fight, or a dog's been attacked by a particular looking dog, particular breed of dog, then it can generalize that to other dogs that look similar. Absolutely, 100%, yes.
Happens with people too, right?
Yes,
like
does.
Gender of the person or...
Gender, or if you've got a man with a beard, or you've got a person of a certain color.
Baseball hat or something.
But
you know, on the flip
sometimes
side...
Sometimes males. Dog doesn't like males, yet it's fine with females. And that generalizes it to all males. Mm-hmm. And the same the other way. You know, so yes, they absolutely
But
do.
Would the flip side then be they take to a certain type of person and a particular person? So, like, for instance, there's people I meet in my life who I just love. And really, when I sit and analyze it, like, because they remind me of somebody who I adored in my past. So would that be like with dogs where they particularly like somebody because it reminds them of something? Or do we not know?
I don't think that would be off the wall to think. I don't think any studies have been done about that. And if they have, please tell me. I don't know every single study that's been done. So if you're listening and you know, please tell me. But yeah, wouldn't put it past them.
Okay, let's David in Vancouver says, considering the amount of inbreeding and deformities that plague certain breeds, is it ethical at all to consider buying certain purebred breeds known for their pedigree health problems? For example, a Cavalier, a Pug, French Bulldog. I love some breeds, but I don't even know if I can trust many breeders who claim to work to KC standards.
Oh, that's a tough one. That's a really tough one, yes. Unfortunately, in the KC Kennel Club, which is the British Kennel Club and the American Kennel Club, there are such problems with certain breeds at the moment. And I think the KC is getting better at addressing breed-specific issues. But, you know, there's still the Neapolitan Mastiff, for example, is still very overbred and has terrible skin conditions, terrible orthopedic conditions with the way it looks. The pug has difficulty breathing, you know, and these Cavalier King Charles can still have issues with brain swelling. Oof. So that is a problem. I think it's all about doing research because I'm not against purebreds. I really am not. First of all, I always say, please go to your breed rescue. If you want to get a purebred and you can't find it in your shelter, go to a breed-specific rescue. There are so many of them around the country, around the world, where they have dogs that are no longer wanted, and they're absolutely fine, health-wise, behavioral-wise, that they just need a home. Check that out first. But I think if you want to go down the breeder route, you need to do your research to get the best kind of breeder in, you know, that really breeds for the love of the breed and to right. better the breed, rather than just wanting to make money. Sometimes it's difficult to find them because, you know, unfortunately, you've got a lot of AKC registered mm-hmm. puppies that maybe shouldn't be, right. and KC registered puppies that shouldn't be, and they're actually from large breeding facilities that look very much like, very similar to puppy mills. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that still goes on. It's something that we're fighting the whole time to really improve the AKC standards for their breeders, to improve the KC standards for their breeders. And not only that, not only to improve standards, but to also have reinforcement, as in, you know, we want, there need to be more agents to go and make mm-hmm. sure that these breeders are actually doing what they say
more
they're
doing. More checks and balances.
So if they're registered, we need to have people going out there to make sure that everything's fine. So I wouldn't be against it, but you have to do your research and try breed-specific rescue first.
Okay. This one is from Holly from Perth, Virgin Islands. And
oh,
she
nice.
Says, I love this question.
Can we do a podcast over there,
yes.
please?
Can we come stay at your house, Holly? What do you believe makes a dog smart or intelligent? Is it speed for learning a trick, level of obedience, intuitive knowledge of how best to behave, bursts of independence, breed reputation, etc.?
God, I love that question.
I mean, and I love her. Like, I talk about being smart and intelligent. It's Holly.
Ooh. I love you. I love that question. Oh, because it's got
but
such
a... But you also
a
could have an hour answer, right?
Massive answer.
Yeah.
Massive. And you need to watch our show in the UK. I think maybe in the Virgin Islands, you might get the UK show that's coming out on Sky spring, summer of 2016, because it might answer a lot of your questions.
Mm-hmm.
I see intelligence as being very different depending on what kind of animal you are. So a crow has to have a certain type of intelligence in order to survive. But it's a very different type of intelligence to what a dog needs
right.
in order to survive. And in fact, the intelligence that a domestic dog needs to be very different from the intelligence that a wild dog or a feral dog needs. So that's how I see intelligence, as how does the dog or the crow or the cat negotiate its environment to be successful, to procreate, and to survive. That's it. But when we're talking about learning is a type of intelligence. Mm-hmm. And I believe that all of our dogs, there's a wonderful canine cognitive scientist called Dr. Brian Hare, who said that, you know, all dogs have genius. We all have genius. And he cites, I think, a great analogy? What's the word? Steve Jobs, for example. Steve Jobs, he didn't finish college.
Right. A lot of people didn't.
But he, you know, he created Apple. I mean, look at this man. How intelligent is that? Yet he didn't finish college. And I really do think that's the same thing with dogs. Just because your dog might not be picking up things up very fast doesn't mean to say he's stupid. It just might mean he might learn in a different way. Two types of learner, and I'll just break it down very, very quickly. I call it an independent learner and a dependent learner. An independent learner is a great problem solver. So let's say you put some sort of game or a test or a challenge for your dog. Let's say you've got a screen, you have food behind the screen, you have your dog on the other side of the screen. The dog's got to negotiate that screen and understand that it's got to go around the screen to get the food. Right? Some dogs can't do it. Some dogs will try to go through the screen. Some dogs won't even try to go around the edges, and it's a very long, large screen. Mm-hmm. Some dogs won't even try. Other dogs, boom, they'll go straight around the screen to find the food. And they won't use their noses even to do that. They'll just know that that's how they need to solve the problem. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some dogs that are very dependent problem solvers. So they'd be able to, they would sit and they would know that there's food on the other side of the screen, but they wouldn't be able to do it, and they would look to you for help. Mm. How are you going to do it? Now, they've done studies where dogs that aren't good independent solvers then watch a person solving the problem. Once they've seen another dog or another person solve the problem, then problem solved. Then they can do it easily.
Wow, it's just like people. You either are somebody who touches the burner several times and then realizes it's hot, mm-hmm. or you're somebody who can watch somebody touch the burner and realize, oh, I probably shouldn't touch that burner because it's hot.
So interesting, it's a different way of how you learn.
Yes.
And that no one is better than the other.
No,
right?
It's not. But you know, if you've got a dog that's a really independent problem solver, an independent thinker, then you've got a dog that's going to be hard to control in a way. You want a nice mixture. You want a dog that problem solves. And you also want a dog that also looks to you for help. Mm-hmm. And it's all about evolution. You know, these dogs have evolved with us over many thousands of years, so they're very good now at asking us for help, looking to us to help them to get what they need.
You know, I wonder too, you know, you talk about personalities of dogs, and I bet that you could figure out the personality of a dog by looking at how they solve problems, because it would seem to me by logic and deduction that the dog that is the independent one that would just figure it out and do it is probably the more like, you know, outgoing type dog who doesn't know a stranger and really like confident. And the one that looks to you probably is more of the quieter dog. The I'm going to say back in the background doesn't mean I'm not learning. You know what I mean? Like in, just like in
well,
people.
You know what? It's interesting you say that. But however, some dogs that are really independent problem solvers don't actually need people so much and therefore are not as in tune with people and don't really want to be around or socialize with people that much.
Interesting.
Mm. That's why I say it's nice to have a combination. Yeah. I want to have a dog that's really a great independent problem solver but also looks to me.
It's true. Like, I have two different personality dogs. One, Cashmere, just goes for it. And the other one's like, well, I don't know. Maybe you should wait. And accidentally, once one of them opened the door, don't ask. And the white dog, Cashmere, the pit bull, who's independent, was down the street. And what happened was 10 minutes later, when someone told us our dog was down the street, the other dog, the coonhound, was at the top of the driveway pacing like, I don't know. She went that way. Go. And then, you know what I mean? And it's like sort of he was like, I'll wait here in case she comes back so she knows where to go. It's interesting. Very interesting. Well, if you guys have questions, again, and you want to talk about Ask Victoria, and you want to ask her a question, go to the website, positively.com, and you'll see, go positively.com/AskVictoria, or you'll see a pull-down bar, a menu where it says, Ask Victoria the questions, and send them in to us. We would love to hear from you and know what your problems are.
We have a special guest. We have another special guest on this special Thanksgiving, and she's going to ask us questions. We're sort of doing an animal academy.
I like it.
Let's jump right into the Let's Embarrass and Humiliate Holly segment.
Open your notebook, sharpen your pencil, and get ready. There's something right up. You're about to attend Victoria's Animal Academy.
And I like this because it's not just Embarrass Holly, it's Embarrass Holly and Paula, so I have somebody else to hang my head in shame with.
Excellent.
Here is my daughter, Alex Zyler, who's been working on these great quiz questions. They're not necessarily about dogs.
Oh, good, okay. So that you don't have the in because
you're
playing
too. Oh, I have no
idea. Okay, good. Okay.
I have no idea. And my daughter, whenever she does quizzes for us, and we play a lot of games, we do a lot of quizzes, I warn you right now, it can be quite random.
Oh, and okay. She's really good. She outsmarts me all the time. It's really bad when you're shown up by a... How old is she now?
One.
How old are you now? 22?
I'm 11.
11. Well, yeah. Going on 22. All right, 11. Gorgeous. Hi, Alex. For the record, I would just like everyone to know that you're listening to a podcast and you can in about 10, well, maybe about 15, 20 years after college. So what's that, about 10 years? You're going to go, oh, my God, you see that girl on that TV show who's got the lead character? I remember listening to her when she was 11 on a podcast. You heard it here first.
That's it. All
there
right.
We go. I like
All
it.
All right, Alex, let's go for it.
Okay. So first question, a couple celebrating their crystal wedding anniversary have been married for how many years?
Told you this was random.
Oh.
Not necessarily about animals.
Crystal.
Crystal.
All I know is paper is one. Silver is 10. Gold is...
I'm
no,
gonna
silver
say
is 25.
15.
Crystal? No isn't crystal better? Oh, it's not as good as gold. Gold's 15.
No, crystal's not as good as gold.
It's either 15, maybe you're 30.
I don't know. It depends. And I like crystal.
Have we... I wonder if we've all surpassed our crystals. who didn't even realize.
I've been married 15.
I've been married 9, so I don't...
How long have I been married? 16 years?
It's bad when you can't. You
16 years. 16
so
years.
What... So wait, so let's see. Silver...
It can't, it can't be one of the big ones. It can't
50,
be 25.
25 is silver. So I bet it's like 10 or 15.
10 is foil. Actually, 10 is tin.
That's gosh.
Weird. Oh, really?
Is it bad?
Yeah. Oh, so I'm coming up on tin? 10 years with Sean, God love him, and I'm getting tin?
I could be wrong, but I saw on Facebook that somebody had their 10-year anniversary at their company, and somebody tinfoiled every single thing in their cubicle.
Okay, good to know. Okay. All right, so then it's going to be 20. It'll be.
I'll say 15 or 30.
I'm going
I don't
20.
Know.
I might say 5.
5.
Okay,
what
Alex.
Is paper? That's cotton.
It's 15.
Oh, Paula. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Who's keeping score?
Wow. Alex All Trebek, right. Are you listening?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay,
that's
I'm keeping score. Paula, Holly.
I hope you're playing as you're listening, too.
Okay.
Okay.
Because this is for you guys at home as well.
This is about cats and sheep.
Even more.
You know,
random.
Because cats and sheep, I think of them all the time together.
Okay, Alex.
If cats are feline, what are sheep?
Bovine is birds, isn't it?
No, bovine is cows.
No, cows.
A resident animal expert.
No. Only dogs.
Equine is horse.
What are sheep?
What's the first letter? Sheep. What does it start with?
No, you can't do that.
I'm
that's
not going to tell you that.
Sheep are...
let's see. Mutton. Wait, no.
She might be right.
Wait, in Spanish, I mean... oveja.
But wouldn't it be more Latin?
Right, but... Latin America, Spanish.
Hello.
Well, I guess you're right. Well, there we go.
I'm thinking some sort of...
I think you might be right with mutton chops. That's a lamb. Lamb chops, mutton
lamb.
Chops.
Wait, lamb is a small sheep.
It is?
No, lamb is a baby sheep.
Lamb is a young sheep.
It is?
Mutton is an old sheep.
Yes.
So when you have like a lamb that's a baby...
It's lamb. It's baby. It's
so it's like
sheep.
Veal is a baby calf. Yes. That's why I don't eat meat. You see this?
Yes, and mutton is
Wait
an adult sheep.
I don't know.
Older sheep. I used to work on a sheep farm, I know.
All right, so anyway, I'm going with sheep. What are you going with, Paula? Paul's going with mutton? Are you going with mutton?
Well...
Oh, our producer's getting in on this.
Producer Van. So I have my... I thought I was the only person in the world who ever was stupid enough to not know that a lamb was a sheep. But it's a...
Welcome.
There are two family, like, running jokes in my family, and one of them is about the fact that I didn't know that when I was 20-something years old. I didn't put together that lamb was sheep.
Well, look, I outpaced
and now they
you by
make
20
fun
years.
Of me, and I feel thrilled now that I have a fellow idiot.
Thank you for welcoming
Holly.
Me
Thank you, Holly.
In that with open arms. Oh, my God. Let me tell you, it was only when I was in my 20s that I learned that veal was a baby cow. And when my mom would make veal parmesan, I was mortified. But then she did tell us that all those years it was really chicken parmesan, but she didn't want to lie to us anymore. That's probably why.
Holly, did you want to schedule an appointment?
Yes. Anyway, so that was just more fun.
Alex,
anyway, but back
us,
to the
babe,
question. Do you have a guess? I'm going with sheep.
Ovine.
Oveja.
Yeah, but you said mutton.
No, but then I said oveja. Ovine. Oveja.
All right, fine. We give Paula the frickin' point.
Darn it. We are doing so badly, Holly, you and I.
It's okay. We're cute.
Ovine. I mean, I don't know if you want to give me the point. I'd say 0.5 maybe. Okay.
Well, you can have the point. That's fine.
No, she can.
I said I didn't even know that it was a baby.
Okay.
All right,
Alex. Go ahead.
Okay. What is the word that describes a plant that is both male and female?
It's not hermaphrodite.
Not
hermaphroditic.
Not it's alive not, in my house.
Isn't it hermaphrodite?
Hermaphroditic.
Isn't it hermaphrodite? That means
no, there
that's
is a name because
people?
There's a ginkgo plant and there's something like, because my parents accidentally bought the wrong plant and it stinks outside their house when growing up.
I'm going with hermaphrodite.
Okay.
Oh, hermaphroditic.
I'm going with confused.
Confused?
Yeah.
It's hermaphrodite.
So you guys both got the points.
Yes.
All right. That's fine.
Yes.
We'll catch up later.
Confused.
I learned something today, so I'm really excited.
All right. Next question, Alex.
What is an otter's home called?
An otter?
A den? No.
An otter.
They.
An otter's
Sean home. Would know this. He loves otters. They.
What is their home
That's a
called?
Beaver. Beaver dam.
Yeah, they
den.
Make dams.
Den. But an otter? Maybe she's right.
I don't know. I have no idea. I'm going to say den.
The water.
No idea.
They live in the water.
A holt.
Holt.
A holt. I would have never known that.
I didn't know that either. But
ever.
Oh. Learn a something holt. New every day.
Yes.
I learned two things now. Look, you guys are getting points for right answers. I'm getting points for how much I'm learning.
Okay. In the human body, what is the hallux?
The hallux.
The hallux.
H-A-L-L-U-X.
Something. I'm going to go something with the mouth.
I was just thinking like halitosis. That's H-A-L-X.
Is this something to do with like the back or something?
No, I'm going
with the roof of the mouth.
So what part of the body you said?
That's the brain.
Yeah, what part of the body?
I'm going with the mouth. So are you too? Come on, girls.
Sorry, Alex.
You're going to do the skull. I'm going to do skull.
I'm going to say the roof of the mouth. I have no idea.
A big toe.
Oh, we were so far removed.
About as far as you can get.
I might have to check her answers when we're done. Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Weren't we just talking about the intelligence of dogs?
I'm much better on that. That makes me sound smart. This doesn't. All right, carry
on. Independent learner.
What is Canada's national animal?
Moose.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea.
I think it is a moose.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
I don't know.
I think you're right.
And you said it first.
All right. Well, Harriet, since you said that, I'm going to go with something else. I'm going to say the polar bear, which I know is wrong, but what I'm...
No, and I'll say a bear, but...
A beaver.
Oh!
Are you
weird.
Kidding me?
Beaver.
We have an eagle in this country.
The Canadians, their animal is a beaver.
Well, they're very nice people.
And I guess an industrious people.
I have no words for that.
Well, then let's go on.
Yeah, okay. Let's go on.
Next question.
Oh, I have some words.
May Queen, Wisely Crab, Fox Whelps, and Lane's Prince Albert are all types of what?
Piercing. No.
Oh.
Wait, say that again?
May Queen, Wisely Crab, Fox Whelps, and excuse me if I'm saying all of these wrong.
Oh, you got it.
Then Lane's Prince Albert are all types of what?
Flowers? No.
Oh, I was going to go with some kind of a fish or like a...
I'm going with...
Some kind of a fish.
A mollusk.
That was random.
You said fish. I mean, mollusk.
No, anything that has a shell.
What is it?
Apples.
Oh, ridiculous.
At least we're in the food world.
Who's ever heard of that before?
What did you say?
I said... Well, first I said piercing.
Oh, that's right.
Because I know one piercing that has one of those names in it.
Carry on.
What explorer introduced pigs to North America?
Oh, I know that.
Yeah, well,
you can't. Oh, wait, okay.
I know then you know that.
No, let us guess first because otherwise I'm going to...
America.
I did. I legitimately know that.
The pig? I'm going to go with... Well, I'm going to say Christopher Columbus.
What are you going to say?
Did Ponce de Leon come over here? I can't remember. I live on Ponce de Leon.
I think he did Looking for the Fountain of Youth. I don't know.
What was that?
All right. Well, she's going to go with Ponce de Leon. What are you going with?
Columbus.
It's Christopher Columbus.
There you go. Holly, you
goodness,
got one.
I needed a point. That's all. Just so
you
I can.
You got one. All right. Well, this is the last question,
one.
I think.
Oh, no. There's no way I can catch up. Can we have two more questions, please?
Okay. Let's just do two more just in case.
Bonus question.
All right. Name the world's biggest island.
Australia.
Greenland?
You would think that, but that's a continent, isn't it?
But it's also an island.
It is an island. You're
right. Well, that's my answer. You go with what you want to do. You don't have to concur.
Shoot.
Greenland?
Greenland is pretty big. I thought about that.
Are all continents islands?
Pretty
much. Yeah, all continents are islands. Yeah, you're right. So are we talking about... This is really bad.
I don't know
what is an island?
I feel like I'm one of those spelling bees. Can I get a country of origin, please? Can I get a definition, please?
I'd be so screwed.
All right, we'll just pick something.
Oh, I don't know.
What are you going with?
Greenland? I don't know.
Okay.
1 second.
Oh, she's Googling this.
Okay.
What do we do before the Googles?
I don't know.
Island. An island is a piece of subcontinental land that is surrounded by water.
Oh, so
very small islands, such as emergent land features on atolls or something.
Subcontinent.
Can be called islets, skerries, cays, or keys.
Did you see?
So Australia wouldn't count because it's not a sub.
I said Greenland, but I don't know.
I'll say Iceland. I have no idea.
Wait, Iceland's small. But I can't. So then Australia would not count because it's a continent. That's not fair.
Yeah.
I'm going with, that just threw everything off because I would have said Greenland because it's so big. I'm going with Greenland too.
Greenland is correct.
Yeah. Iceland's tiny, Vic. It's little.
Gosh, darn it.
Okay, bonus question. So at least I'm tied with Vic.
Okay, so it's really between
Paul's got
myself.
Bonus question is going to be a capital of somewhere.
Oh, I'm really good at capitals. I'm really good at
what
capitals.
What is the capital of Latvia?
Latvia?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, I'm really good at capitals.
I'm really not good at that. Could ask me
Latvia.
Anything else.
I feel like I should
Why
know
did
that.
You have to go with Latvia?
Because it's the one that one person in my class had trouble on, and he's like the best person in the world
at really?
Capitals.
Oh, really? Well, because I'm really good at capitals, I'm like
And then I Googled it, but then he found out the next time.
She's like, yeah, I did it because I Googled it. All right, Latvia, the capital of Latvia.
Latvia is...
Is Latvia. It's Latvia, Latvia, kind of like New York, New York.
What is it?
I don't know. I think nobody has an answer.
Nobody has it. Alex, what is it?
Riga.
Oh, I do know Riga.
I've heard of that before. It's not something that ever enters my little pea brain.
So here's the deal. Paula wins with 4 points. Vic and I tied with 2 points, and I have learned that a lamb is a baby sheep.
That's worth
it. And there you go. And that's
thank
why
you
don't
Alex.
Eat meat.
Yes. Yes. And I'm very, yes.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you. On this Thanksgiving, we thank you for making us, exposing us, and...
Yeah, how stupid we are. Well, Holly, it shows because we're tied that our sort of our level of intelligence is very similar to each other.
But we're fun people to be around.
Yeah. I hope so. We got to have something.
Yeah, there's a redeeming quality. But awesome. And Paula, thank you for being here. As always, will you come back? It's so much fun here, and I feel much better.
It is.
And thank you, Alex, for a great quiz.
You're welcome.
And thank you for... everything. And, you know, I just wanted one quick thing. You know, Thanksgiving's great and we're all here and together, not to on a downer, but I wanted just to say thank you to all of our military serving overseas who are celebrating who knows where right now in this world. It's so crazy. And, you know, journalists, my fellow journalists who are spending the holidays overseas away from their family, you know, trying to cover what's happening in the world. So I thank all of them and thank you guys for listening to us. And we're thinking about y'all.
A happy Thanksgiving to everybody, everybody, everywhere.
Yeah, Thanksgiving.
Thanks for tuning in to Victoria Stilwell's Positively Podcast. For more information, visit positively.com. Get connected on Facebook and YouTube as Victoria Stilwell, or follow her on Twitter at Victoria S. Be sure to tune in next time as Victoria helps to change dogs' lives positively.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.